Ladies and gentlemen, my man, my dog, one and only D.L. Hughley.
D.L., yeah. Morning.
Morning, y'all. Hey, Steve, the unemployment rate would go down if you give up one of them jobs you got. Congratulations, man. I tried to catch you when I was in Charlotte, but I got out.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm really very proud of you, man.
Aww,
I know you are, man. You know, man, I love you, man. I miss seeing you a lot.
Likewise.
You know, man. You straight
likewise.
Brother, man. Hey, man, let's get to it, man. We got a new deal out, man. You got this book out, man, that's getting a lot of stir out there. A lot of people trying to figure out, man, how did he put all of this stuff in a book?
Yeah, I actually, when I wrote it, didn't think they would let me do it. But, you're a best-selling author, so you understand. You keep turning pages in, and they don't say no, so you keep doing it. So I think it's just kind of about where we are. Like I think America just is like a person that doesn't want to look at itself in the mirror, and it's just it was just kind of the through line for the book. Like last night, they were arguing that the DNC didn't put God, in its platform, mm-hmm. but Americans put God on money, and look how good that does for us. So I think just because you say God don't mean you're Christian, that's like buying a jersey and thinking you Tebow. That's just not the same.
Hey, man, let me ask you, D.L., did you write the book? When people go to get the book, D.L. Hughley, and it's in conjunction with a writer named Michael Malice, is that it? D.L. Hughley, I want you to shut the blank up. Did you write the book as a comedian, or did you write it kind of both as an author with an intent to really give us a wake-up call?
Well, I wrote it from my perspective. I think that any time you write something, you can never really tell how somebody's going to interpret it. But I wrote it from my perspective, and I wrote it, from truth. And I think that ultimately we're having a version of truth. I think that this, we as people, like this, look, I watch the things we do, and I'm amazed, like this Chick-fil-A argument. Now, I dig Chick-fil-A, but I'm against their stance on gay marriage, so I'm going to eat the chicken, but I'm going to leave the bun alone, because that's the best I can do.
Oh, that's how you...
that's the best
you can do.
But it amazes me how angry, and a lot of people are angry about that, but I think we have other things to worry about as a country, particularly as a people, when you consider that, more black men are in prison than were ever slaves. 70% of us are born out of wedlock. More people, young brothers aren't finished, high school and going on to college. In the age of information, I think we should get rid of that and worry about that and then get to the other stuff. And I think it's just a matter of priorities. But the book was kind of just from that perspective.
Wow. Hey, man, I'm going to eat the chicken, but I'm going to throw the bun back in the window.
Hilarious.
But back at them in the window. Hey, man, you got some topics in the book, man, that's really, really getting people talking, because around here, we had Monica from Mississippi is the one who puts the questions together. What's some of the topics in the book that you covered as getting some controversy?
I think all of them virtually are, but I think two of the ones that are getting the most controversy we're making this concerted effort to stop bullying, which I think, is a noble effort. I think ultimately it's a futile one. I think that we all have dealt with bullies, and I think bullies have taught us more about ourselves than we ever could have learned from a book. I think you learn that you could be your own hero, that you can stand for yourself, and I don't care who you are. One day you're going to have to fight either physically or emotionally or spiritually for something you believe in. So there's no way to avoid that. And so trying to legislate around that is kind of futile. And I think that if when you've been bullied, you understand what they do and you understand how they act, and it informs you. And I thought that Barack Obama's president would have been on an upward apex, and it never would have shifted that as greatly as it did. Once that man called him a liar, which is what a bully would do, and he didn't react, I think it changed the tone of his presidency. I think that they emboldened them, and they all of a sudden found what they thought was a weakness and did their best to exploit it.
Wow. Because I'm understanding of that. He has a demeanor of being such a cool person. I think if he'd have overreacted to that, they would have really, really tried to nail him to the cross for being a president of no composure.
All we can do is react. But here's the thing. I think ultimately, this country is a lot like a woman, and it really is. We react like a woman. I'm talking about we act very much like women. And what happens is, if a woman thinks, like, if you know this, if you're in a relationship with a woman and you never react, you never get angry, you never get sad, you never show any level of emotion, that woman starts to think you don't care, and they start trying to push your buttons to make sure that you react. And I think that's what the country's doing. That's what the Republicans have done when they tried to see exactly how far they can get away with stuff. And I think that's the kind of place that we are right now. And I was at the DNC, and I think the bravest thing personally I've ever seen any politician do, certainly in our lifetime, is the Affordable Health Care Act. Even if nothing else, nobody that we know in our lifetime has risked that kind of political capital or you know, gravitas on something I think so significant for the American people. So if nothing else, he's been a president.
Hey, DL, let me ask you this. One of the chapters in the book really caught my attention because I didn't even know he said this. This is a quote from Rick Santorum that you have in your book. Rick Santorum said, "I don't want to make black people's lives better by giving them somebody else's money."
Yeah, he actually said that. And he actually said that when he's running for president. Even now, the when they say welfare, they mean black people. That's kind of cold.
Yeah.
And most people want a social safety net until you quantify it, and they believe it's black people. And I think that there are all these coded messages that they use. And for a godly nation to hate poor people, that's why I take such umbrage when they use for a bunch of people that claim to be godly. We sure hate poor people. And we hate old people, and we hate people who are weaker than us. Like, the stated platform of the Republican convention was to make government small and talk about contraception and abortion and women. They actually want the government so small it actually fits in a woman's vagina, which is ridiculous to me. So I think.
Wow. DL, I tell you, man. Hey, y'all got to go get this book. It's called DL Hughley. I Want You to Shut the Blank Up. And it's on the cover. You can't miss it. He's got a funny cover. I love that picture
of
you
with
your Uncle Sam out there. Hey, DL Hughley, man, we love you, boy.
Thank you, man. Back at you. And I'm very proud of you. And hey, Tommy, you keep killing him. Hey, Cheryl. Shirley,
thank you, brother.
All right. Good, DL. Thank you.
DL Hughley, I Want You to Shut the Blank Up. It's in bookstores now.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.